Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. We're actually in the room.
Yeah, we are.
Together again. Sat next to Rumanj.
2 meters apart.
Fucking exciting. Huh?
1 meter apart?
We're 1 meter apart. I don't know. Whatever is required for you not to tweet us and say that we're breaking the law is how far apart
we are.
It's
good to see you again, though, man, in the room.
It's really good to see you as well.
There's already a different connection.
Yeah, it just feels so much more vibey, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
And we are joined by, also in the room, because it would be weird for me and Rupert to be in the room and then just Zoom the guest. Somebody who wanted on for a long time, Danao.
How you doing, brother? How you doing, Rob?
Hey, man.
Rupert, right?
Rupert, yeah.
And Rom. Yeah. Sorry, I was supposed to be Rob Rom and Rupert.
Yeah, but you combined it.
That's Rob Beckett.
That would be like, if we were a couple, that would be our celeb name.
Mm.
Yeah.
I like it.
Now, you, this outfit.
So let Romish describe it, I think. So
it's you've gone monochrome.
Yeah.
In different ways the whole way down. So your sunglasses are half white, half black.
Yeah.
The shirt is patterned, black and white, but two separate patterns.
Yeah.
The jeans, one leg white, one leg black. The trainers, one white, one black.
Yeah.
It feels like I didn't need to explain it all the way down.
What about the underpants?
Oh, no, the underpants are all black.
You're not wearing any.
So first question, because I follow you on Instagram, and I don't think I've ever seen you not look pretty swish.
Oh, thank you.
Is this unusually, like, because I think you look fucking great.
Right.
I wouldn't have the guts to dress like that. Now, is that a thing? You just don't have that? You just got this Andre 3000 thing where you just sort of...
No. All right, so today...
Yeah.
Like, my missus is massively into fashion.
Right.
And she's going for a job. And she showed me, like... Well, not she's going for... Like when she was going for a job, sorry, shall I say, she showed me, like a monochrome... How do you say it? Like, it was a piece of paper that had different various ideas of styling.
Oh, okay.
Like a storyboard. Yeah, kind of like a storyboard.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was looking at the storyboard and I was like, oh, monochrome is in fashion. And I've had this outfit for like a year, but I didn't know. It's not loud enough to be in a video.
Mm. Right. Got you.
But it's too loud to be worn on every day.
Got you.
But on a podcast.
But here's like the happy medium kind of thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Romish, like, Rob. he's a big deal, group, big deal.
Yeah.
It's like,
got well, he's a deal.
Yeah,
Rupert is a deal. What do you think of this? Because this thing about, sorry, we will talk about hip hop in a bit, but like this thing about saving things for best.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Do you know, like, when you buy, like, say for example, you get a pair of trainers that are like some sort of grails or something that you fucking had to fork out for. Mm-hmm. Do you just wear them straight away, or is it? Do you think I'm going to save it? Because some people say you don't. This saving for best thing is a bullshit. Is a bullshit idea.
I do both.
Right.
So say like this outfit.
Yeah.
It just didn't feel right. Whereas today it felt right. Like it was on my mind to wear this outfit, like from last night all the way today, to the point where I was like questioning. Because to answer your question beforehand, I took the train to King's Cross, but I thought this outfit was too loud to go
King's
on
Cross.
The underground
okay.
all the way to Piccadilly.
Okay.
So I thought, let me go halfway, because that was my reservations. I was like, I wouldn't, on the normal day, I dress nice, but it's toned down.
Got you.
Kind
it's
of
not
thing.
Coordinated. Like.
So you got change, no, when you got here?
No, it's coordinated, but it's not, like you can't not see me in this
outfit. This is full on. This is like.
Without the rings and whatnot, it's full on.
Yeah.
So what I did is I came here, I went to King's Cross, and then I caught a cab to Soho. So I am aware of certain things, and I know certain outfits.
Because, you know, what are you worried is going to happen when you're on the second half of that underground journey? Just you're going to draw like, attention?
Yeah, because like the type of artist I am,
yeah,
I've got people that do recognize me all the time.
Right.
And it's kind of like, I like to take London transport
yeah.
and I like to have as much of a normal life as possible.
Sure.
So when you're going through a normal day, you have to, well, I feel I have to like tone it down. If people recognize me, give them your full attention, but more time, like you're not here to, I'm here to have a date with my missus. I'm not here to be Deneo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm here to take my niece to the park. I'm not here to be Deneo. Like, right, if, right. If I'm, like, I remember one time I was taking my niece home from the park and she was tired. Mm. So I'm carrying her and this woman stops filming. And I just naturally just snapped to her. I said, listen, have some respect. Like, this is my niece. Like, put that down. If you want to, if you see me again, fine. But like, this ain't.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's knowing when to be humble.
If you had your niece on your shoulders and was wearing this outfit,
yeah.
I'd think, how the fuck does that guy not want to get filmed? Like, this, do you know what I mean? So, so I understand what you're saying. That's a hard one, isn't it? Yeah,
it's very hard. So it's kind of like, and in like situations like this, like you're one of my favorite British comedians. Like I've said, I've spent money coming to your shows.
Oh yeah, like you came to the Apollo, right?
On
the
last tour. Thank you. As well, it's almost like this is an important situation because when my friend told me Martin T. Smooth,
our booker,
when he was like, oh, like you was excited to, I was just like, okay, because I know you follow me back and you respond back, but it's like you're big time, isn't it? So. Like, you're this is also an occasion.
I am, yeah.
It's recorded. You're big time for me, anyway.
I feel like sometimes you take me for granted.
It's because I've known you too long, so maybe this is a good way to redress it.
Thank you, bro.
I think the outfit's great.
Thank you.
I love it very much.
You know what you could do with it? This is just an idea. Mm-hmm. Is like, you know those things when you turn sideways and you're a different character?
Yeah.
So you could have half hair.
Now that would be...
And then you could like flip,
that version is an upgrade, and that version I'd use for a video.
Oh, nice. Wow. Yeah. Like
you're not going to, you can't, when in life, what are you suggesting that for?
We could have like long
hair. No, it's a good idea.
But that's your,
he could have some hair, like a woman's length hair.
Yeah, but this to me, what you're wearing now is an amazing outfit, right? If I saw you at a club or something like that, I think this guy looks.
If I was doing a performance, I'd wear this outfit.
Yeah, what you're talking about is a costume.
Yeah.
Like a sort of.
I would wear a costume. Like Danae Cruella de Vil or what? Is that what
you could be man and woman.
I would do
you
that.
If you turned up to the Cruella premiere in that.
With half hair, long
not half,
woman's
I said, this half hair obsession.
You know what I mean?
I haven't even got hair. You think I'm Ramesh? Look, I'm bald, bruv. It's clean gone.
Wigs.
You've got more hair. I admire your hairline. I just looked at your hairline. Wow.
Yeah.
But you're youthful anyway.
I'm waiting for it to
disappear. It's not going anywhere. If it hasn't gone by the time you were 30, it's not going anywhere.
That's good to know.
Is that true?
That is good to know.
By the time you're 30,
by the time you're 30, your hair is not like receding.
Right.
I've got a bit of that.
Everyone kind of gets that.
You're gonna. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got a problem there. I've not seen that before.
Really?
No, I'm joking.
Oh God.
So how has all of this, most difficult period in living memory gone for you?
That's just the intro to the podcast.
Yeah.
I kind of excelled.
Yeah?
Yeah, I passed my driving test last year, October.
Congratulations.
I just forced it.
Great time to do your lessons, by the way.
Are you allowed to do that?
He literally just said he's passed.
Remember, there was three lockdowns, and in between the lockdowns, we were free. So every time we was free, I just forced the lessons until I just passed. Mm. Me and my missus.
Which test centre did you?
Mitcham.
Is that known as a difficult one? Or do you not know? Because my test centre was Peace Pottage near Crawley. And I think it might be like the third easiest test centre in the country.
For someone like me,
right,
it's definitely the easiest.
Right.
I've been trying for 20 years.
Whoa. I passed first time, just so you know.
What a weird brag to throw in there, just as you said it's
taken
20 years.
Just rub it in.
Dick move that was.
Well, he might pass.
Yeah, that was
time.
So Brent that was.
And it was funny, right? Because I passed like last year. I spoke to my sister about this.
Yeah.
And she said it wasn't your driving. There was other things at play.
Right. Clearly. Other traffic,
shall we say, at play, clearly.
Yeah.
And then so this time. What I did is I did research. I asked all the drivers, what is the best place for someone like me? And someone was honest and he was like Croydon or Mitcham.
What is the best place for someone like me? That's a mad... Like, how does somebody recommend a test centre for the type of person you are? Well, what was the reasoning?
The type of person I am, there's a perception when you just look at me straight away.
Right. This guy would do well driving in Mitcham. That's what that guy thought.
Yeah, he's evil. And it was funny because the guy who was doing my test was a fan of me.
Right.
And I tried my best. All my days, I tried my best, yeah, to hide it from him. Listen, I walked into the test center and they were like, he's your examiner. And then part of me went, oh. But the thing is, right, you just don't know how people are going to react. Because I'm a ninja. I've done a great job at hiding.
Right.
I know my music's played everywhere.
Yeah.
But my face isn't.
Right.
Right. So he's come over now. I'm like, oh, this is a man's dem. I'm thinking, just keep it to yourself. Because I never just jump out there, hey!
Yeah.
The nail! Like, I'm saying. So, so.
What a way to start a test.
I know, right?
You can say that when you passed.
Yeah.
So, he goes, so what do you do for a living? And I don't really like lying. So I'm like, oh, I make music. He went, all right, cool. Still didn't recognize me. I'm like, right, bless.
Yeah.
Driving now. He's asking me little questions here and there about my career. He's like, so, do you make music here? I was like, yeah. Wait, hold on. Do my thing. And I said, who do you work with? I'm like, oh.
This guy's really fucking irresponsible examiner, by the way.
Yeah.
No, he was great. Oh. And I said, oh, you know, people like Retch 32 gigs. And he was like, he looked at me and he went, so I must know who you are. I still haven't answered. I'm still driving.
Yeah.
And he goes, bruv, just tell me, like, who are you? So I said, Deneo. He went, oh my days, if I tell my wife who I'm, what? And then the whole test was just him asking me, so what was it like working with this person? What was it like working with that person? And then every time there was like a risk, I'd be like, look, I can't talk right now. Boom, 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 done my thing. So we drove in. And as we were driving in my head, I was thinking, this guy needs to pass me. The way he was asking me questions.
Because that would be so awkward.
Oh, it would be so rude.
Yeah.
Soon as I parked up, he said, I'll just take you out of your misery. You passed. When I say me and this guy screamed, yeah! He was like, yeah! Like, he was happy for me. Like, we was, oh, mate, I could have cried. Every once in a while now, it took me so long to pass my driving test, I'm still happy I've passed.
Yeah. You're buzzing every time you get behind the wheel.
Yeah, I'm just like, wow, I'm driving.
Maybe that's what that guy meant when he said, like, Mitcham's a good place. Because there's a lot of Doneo fans.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Do you know what I mean?
But he didn't know I was Deneo. He just could only, or maybe he heard from my voice, you know?
Oh, imagine that though. He sort of, the guy loses his shit, asks you all these questions about Retch and gigs and all that. And then at the end of it, he's like, oh yeah, by the way, you're going to have to use public transport if you want to meet up with them guys again.
Yeah, long time.
So you talked about the people you've collaborated with. The thing that I think is difficult is to describe exactly what your music is. Do you know what I mean? Because it is so sort of, you're multi-genre, I would describe you as, right? Is that a fair description?
I have been multi-genre.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm split into different facets.
So go on. So for the benefits of our listeners, how would you...
As Deneo,
the
artist, I am an Afrobeats artist.
Yeah.
I make all of my songs that have been popular are like Afro-influence. Like my new songs, I'm a Piano, which is a massive scene that was created in South Africa. Then mostly people know me for like funky house stuff and whatnot. As a producer, I'm multifaceted.
Right.
So as Deneo, my audience wants to hear me do Afro music. And to be honest, that's the stuff I love making.
Right.
But as a producer and a songwriter, I can make anything. So that's why you get the songs with gigs.
Yeah.
With Retch.
And have you got stuff coming out? I mean, now you've just got a single out now, but are you...
Yeah, I've got a new song called She Belongs to the Night. It's out right now, produced by Super D and Taffa.
She only laughs when she's lonely. She only wants to see me at midnight. I be with her and her only. She doesn't want to commit to the night sky. She loves your bed and not your heart. Been there before, I've seen the scar. I wanted more, I wanted all. I should have seen it from the start. I ain't the first, but be the last. I'll be a secret in the park. The road she walks, a lonely path. She belongs to the night.
And are you going to bring out an album? Is that the plan?
Yeah, this is like the first single. I've got like all the singles ready. I'm just trying to work out where the direction of the album. I know sonically what the direction is. Now I need to work out what the language is, you know?
Right. What's a Doneo fan like? Feels like you kind of get a crowd hyped up, right?
Yeah, I feel like Doneo fans are quite mature.
Yeah.
Driving instructors, stuff like
that. Driving instructors. They're people that like enjoying life. Mm. Like, I find a lot of like responsible men, like people that are responsible, follow me.
Right.
Like people that genuinely are like maybe good people or whatever, follow my career. I'm starting to find now, because my music's so positive, I think a lot of people who are doing like obscure things on the streets and whatnot, they are into them, my music, but probably not necessarily into me.
Yeah.
Whereas the normal everyday person is into me and my music.
Right, got you.
Here's a little bit that we like to call, how did you get into hip hop?
Obviously you're a hip hop fan, that's why we...
Yeah, hip hop was what got me into music.
So what was your journey into hip hop then?
So my dad used to play, like he used to have a brown Cavalier and he always used to play music in there. And
I love Cavaliers.
Yeah. Mm.
I've said that like it's a chocolate bar.
I know, right? All of us,
Cavalier.
You learned to drive in one?
No, I learned to drive in a Honda Civic.
Ford KA, I learned to drive in.
Anyway, go on, sorry.
So I remember this day vividly. My dad put in a tape and it had like Kool Moe Dee, KRS-One. And when I was younger, I used to like jackets with big necks so I can hide my face. And I remember poking my face out and I'm like, Dad, what's this? Like, and he's like, oh, this is rap music. Because he was a heavy Ice-T fan.
Right.
But obviously that was a bit much for a six-year-old to listen to.
Yeah.
So then I remember thinking, oh, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life.
Really? In that moment?
Wow.
Yeah. In the Cavalier?
Wow. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was like, oh, I'm going to do this for
what
the rest
was
of
it
my
about
life.
That then?
I don't know. When you're six, you don't know. It's like when you're an adult, like say this outfit, for instance, there's so many reasons I could tell you why I wore this outfit because I'm a fully fledged, intelligent adult, right? But when you're a child, you don't think about things. You feel things and then you react.
Right.
And I heard it and I was like, I want to do this, makes me feel good. I want to do this for myself.
Do you mean music in general, that specific hip hop?
Well, obviously, there was only hip-hop I heard.
Right.
So at first, you're thinking it's hip-hop, but hip-hop was my introduction to music. And then as I got older, I realized I have a wide taste.
Got you.
Like the first music I fell in love with was hip-hop.
So your dad was a proper hip-hop head?
Dad was a hip-hop head. He was a proper soul head. There was loads of Luther Vandross. When my dad was in the car was when he was the most happiest and doing the Luther Vandross thing.
Well, bearing in mind he's come into that from like soul and stuff. Mm-hmm. So imagine, did he ever quite a purist attitude towards hip hop? Like, you know, it's
not really. Not really. My dad was more like, if he likes it, he likes it. Like my dad was into Ice-T because Ice-T was a real gangster and he liked the realism in it. And obviously, like my mum as well, she used to be a performer.
Right.
So
what did she do?
She was like a singer in like Europe. She was born in Ghana. She used to sing like in hotels and stuff like that in Ghana. And then she moved to like Sweden and Germany and toured, and I've got like the like little paper clips of her doing her performances and stuff like that. And I realized that I think from them, they both had a wide, like in my house, you would hear Ice Cube and Paul Simons.
Right.
Yeah, great.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Or you'd hear Phil Collins and Bob Marley in my house. You'd hear all of these different sounds that they would just play out loud, kind of thing. Diana Ross, my mum, me, my missus, my mum and her mum had a barbecue on Saturday, and my missus, like a genius, just played Motown hits.
Right.
Listen, the way my mum and her and my mother-in-law were going on, mum was singing. She was just like, oh, they were telling us how big Diana Ross was.
Right.
Trying to educate us and stuff like that. So,
did you then hunt down rap music, or because you're in a house full of sort of multiple genres?
I think
you sort of, or did you just focus in on hip hop?
I focused on hip hop until I got into jungle.
Right.
So my first love was hip hop music.
Mm. And what sort of stuff were you listening to?
Like I said, like my first album was an EPMD album.
I make $1 million every 6 months and y'all hating my game, saying my name. They call me the E-Wrong Things, knowing I'm fly without wings. Uh-huh. But some of y'all have to pull strings. In this era, I maintain the freak upon the beat. Master bass lines of Raphael Sadiq, lyrical mastermind and genius. So don't snooze, no missions impossible, axe Tom Cruise. Uh-huh. I keep a joint lit when I have to spit a rough paragraph. Laugh when I'm busting your ass, who want it? Come and see
me. Until I on it. Dr. Dre's The Chronic. I remember the first day I heard Dr. Dre's The Chronic. My friend came to school, brought his headphones. It was primary school. We ran into the corner. And he was listening. This ain't what moves and tricks.
Yeah,
you know, like we listening to all the. Oh my god! Listen.
I know.
Like
it's weird, isn't it? Because like sometimes when I think about, I remember when I heard first said Straight Outta Compton or Fuck the Police or whatever, anything like that. When I look back on it, it felt like such an amazing musical moment in my life. But at the same time, there's no doubt that I was very excited about the swearing.
Yeah. Of course. I remember the day I got an Onyx, because obviously Onyx says, can I swear on this podcast?
Yeah, of course, go for it. Fucking
so the name of the Onyx album is called Back the Fuck Up.
Yeah, Back the Fuck Up.
So I remember
like
being...
Slam on it and all
I remember either I just started... No, I'm at the end of primary school.
Right.
We're in HMV. See Back the Fuck Up. In my head, I'm thinking, are you going to be brave enough to ask for this album?
Yeah.
And he's like, what do you want? And I was like, I picked it up slowly and he took it. And he said, listen, if I hear you saying any of these words, I'll move to you. I'll buy this, but just understand, yeah? If I hear you, because my dad was he's an army man, so he was very, very hands-on, shall we say.
Right.
So he was just like, if I hear you, He monitored my, like, so I think I was lucky to have a parent that didn't let the music influence me kind of vibe.
Right.
So I always just saw it as, because I wasn't allowed
to. It's entertainment.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to fully indulge in it.
Got
you. You know what I mean? Because words are powerful at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But for me, it was like, he was so strict on it and I was so afraid of him. I was like, okay, cool. I'll just take it as music.
Yeah, and then the other hope is like Back the Fuck Up was all one word.
Yeah,
so I imagine part of you is thinking maybe, maybe you might not clock this.
Nah, my dad clocked it. He knew what time
but
it was.
But do you remember? I don't know if you remember at that time, right? Mm-hmm. So I remember I was reading Hip Hop Connection at that time when Onyx came out, and I think Onyx were like, look, hip hop nerds. I'm sorry if I got this wrong, but like I'm pretty sure they were like co-signed by Jam Master Jay.
No, they were. He's the one after Run DMC. They didn't split, they kind of slowed down. Jam Master Jay started a record label and Onyx was one of his developing artists.
That's
and so
right,
was 50
yeah.
Cent at that period as well.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, 50 Cent. Jam Master Jay taught 50 Cent because 50 Cent could rap, but Jam Master Jay taught him how to write songs.
Right. I mean, and fucking hell, what a skill he's given him. That,
no,
guy,
right?
can write, that guy can write a song.
Listen.
But yeah, so I remember, because I remember reading, because Onyx were like, I don't know what it is about Onyx that, like, because obviously hip hop had been around for a while and sort of hip hop was swearing had been around for a while. And I know that there were headlines in like NWA and like every now and again the newspapers, the British tabloids would do a thing. There'd be a thing in the media about this record has come out and it's hugely offensive. I remember when Snoop's first album came out, that was a big thing, wasn't it?
Mm.
I remember when Onyx's album came out, like, they would have a photo of Onyx because Onyx looked fucking terrifying. On the cover, you know, just them looking down. And they'll just go, this crazy group or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I remember, like, for some reason, Jam Master Jay sort of being involved with them made them seem a bit safer. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was.
You should
was
have told bit, the press that.
Yeah, yeah.
It was I never thought of it like that.
It was,
I
think looking at them, they were way more animated than a lot of the others. So it was almost like the animation and the words.
Yeah. I mean, mate, it's like that sort of the way they all rapped.
It's like rap rock music.
Yeah, it was like proper, like, you know, they're sort of shouting. And I mean, just sticky fingers.
Man. Oh, the way they used to put him on the third verse.
Yeah, mate.
They would hold the best till last.
I'm a B-boy, standing in my B-boy stance. Remember giving the microphone before I busted my pants.
What?
I'm a B-boy, standing in my B-boy stance. Hurry up and give me the microphone before I busted my pants. The mad author of anguish, my language polluted. Onyx is heavyweight.
Still
it took the words right out my mouth. I walk a mile in my shoes. I face so many dudes. I feel used and abused and I'm so confused. Excuse me, for example, I'm an inspiration of a whole generation.
The rest of them were trying to do the rock thing.
Yeah.
He was like, now,
He
used his voice excellently.
It was incredible. It's incredible. It reminded me a bit of, I don't know if you knew the Fooshnickens.
Like, I remember the Fooshnickens.
Yeah. So you
what up that chicken we ran?
Yeah. So Chip Foo.
Chip Tuckatash.
Yeah. Him. That's Chip Foo. You listen to the other two and they were great, right? You're just waiting for Chip Foo to go.
It's like Buster, Buster and Leaders of the New School.
You're
always waiting for him, man.
No, but Chip Foo was Eminem before Eminem.
Mate.
This guy was
genius. What he did with his voice
was ridiculous.
Yeah. Crazy.
I thought I saw a pudding jack. What? I did the Humpty Dumpty Bashful Grumpy picking a Bisco Disco Kick on my style. Figured up like Pinocchio's with Diddy Underground Humpty Dumpty Camel Hump Nose to play those see those suffer second attached. My mistletoe dance. No widers after the seven doors with stars and after me lucky charms. So leaping leprechauns began. I'm pushing my pedal to the metal, working around for the cocoa bosses and I love my booty pebbles. So how need my partner?
Give me the hook. Give me the hook.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, oh, like, okay. Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
It was mad. But like the thing is, like with like, because like you said with Buster, like when Buster came out and started doing like, you know, he'd come on, it was the Flavor in Your Ear remix. Yeah, I remember like when he came on and did that last verse. Yeah, and whenever you'd hear that drop in a club, a lot of the time the DJ would only play the Buster verse.
Was that when he went hey?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You best believe.
Yeah.
But like. Buster became known for like that kind of cameo.
Yeah.
Chipfield, I never felt like he got the.
He didn't go on to great things.
I just
things.
Don't feel like people respected the fact that he was doing something so different from what everyone else was doing.
I think people respect it. It's just certain types of rap music get a certain type of attention.
Yeah.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like creative, really well thought out rap music, when it's like people like you or me, we revere it. As the, oh, yo, this is amazing.
Yeah.
But some people look at that as like, it's cheesy, it's corny and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with hip hop is like, we only revere one thing as this is amazing. When actually the whole diaspora of hip hop, the best versions of every style of hip hop is excellent.
Yeah, mate, do you know what? It's such a good shout because I've got to be honest with you. Even like from starting doing this podcast, I had a bit of a like an old school kind of purist head about it. I think we both did.
Yeah.
And like you sort of go, hip hop to me, for me to respect it as a thing, it has to fit within this narrow. Do you know what I mean?
I can already tell what you're on. Boom bap rhythms.
but
distinctive voice.
Yeah, all of that, right? But I've got to be honest, like majorly because of doing this podcast.
You branched yourself out.
Well, you just sort of go, exactly what you just said is the truth of it, is where you sort of go, in every sort of area of hip hop, the people that are the very best at that, it's fucking great music. It might not be the multi-syllabic, metaphorical, all of this stuff, but it's still, like they're still, the way they play with their voice, the musicality of it, all of that, it's a different set of skills.
Like anyone that listens to Fushnikins and doesn't think what he's doing, if you don't have to like it, but you have to respect what he's done with his voice because you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And wouldn't even thought to do it.
And they're like, so? And it's like, well, I can't talk about selling crack.
Yeah.
You still respect me.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you can't just... In my opinion, and I do believe in this one, you can't just look at one thing and be like, this is credible, we respect this, we don't respect that. Because I've never been a stuck in the era type person anyway. Yeah. I love every era for what it is. Like this era, I don't expect them to be lyrical. I expect to hear banging melodies, cool lines here and there,
like
a bit more honesty. Like rappers these days, if you want bars from rappers in this era, rappers these days are very vulnerable and honest about their feelings.
Yeah.
So the bars may not be metaphorical, but you get an insight into how they think.
Well, I think that vulnerability thing is something that we have seen in hip hop that I don't think we've seen before.
Never.
Because obviously hip hop is synonymous with bragging. This is how I'm doing it, you know. And the only vulnerability... The only vulnerability you might show... is a vulnerability in your background.
Like LL Cool J, I need love. Or women.
Yeah.
Your background or women. And even the vulnerability in your background, it's like they only show you the tough bits.
Yeah.
Mm. They don't show you the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air where you got beat up all the time to become tough. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but now you've got a thing where like you're listening to people like, you know, the people that everyone knows, like your J. Coles and people like that. And even like when you listen to Jay-Z has changed. Do you know what I mean? Like 444, that album, he's like being vulnerable on that album. Do you know what I mean?
Isn't that just a sort of cultural shift anyway, that people are more open to talking nowadays than maybe back in the day?
But it feels like rappers are talking about mental health issues.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right, yeah. And they're saying it like, the thing, another thing for me, as I've gotten older, I've started to realise, when you listen to like proper songwriters, Bryan Adams, Aerosmith, and you hear the lyrics they come up with, and it's not, it's a metaphors in a different way.
I know what you're saying, yeah.
Do you understand? Mm. Then you start listening to rap music, and I feel like elements of how those songs used to be written are in these new rappers.
Starting to come, I totally know
like,
what you mean.
Like, they're like songwriters.
Yeah, yeah, because you've seen a move away from it being super literal, right?
Yeah,
so
yes.
So they were talking
That is the best way I've ever heard it. Yeah, super literal.
Yeah, and so like, that's why that kind of metaphors in lyrics and stuff, it's kind of why that music, people talk about that songwriting, you sort of think, why aren't people talking about rapper songwriting? And it's because it's a more sort of immediate kind of reportage, do you know what I mean? Rather than like they're using imagery and stuff like that. And occasionally you get it, like people like Nas have been doing it for a long time. But like, you're right, it's moved away from that. And yeah, you're seeing a different type of, it hadn't occurred to me until you started talking about it, but you're absolutely right, man. It's like.
And then if you can see it like that, then you can start going, oh, I get this. Mm. And then you start listening to lines like Marvin's Room. Yeah. I always say to everyone, if you want to know who Drake is, listen to Marvin's Room.
Yeah.
That will tell you what his personality is like. I wouldn't be able to tell you what Sticky Fingers' personality is like because all he tells me is he robs everyone. Do you know what I mean? And give me the microphone before I jizz. Like.
It's a
he's
good
just
point,
hiding
though.
His true feelings.
Mate, yeah. It's a very good point. I hadn't thought of it like that, but you're right. And that is a thing where like, actually, I don't know. That's only a positive thing, isn't it? That kind of.
Well, I like different styles of music because that's how I grew up. But when I analyze it, the reason why that for me is a blessing is because I will never stop loving music. There will never be nothing. Like, there's always going to be a new experience for me.
Right.
I was thinking about this yesterday. Like, there's always something new and exciting to do. When you get older, you kind of feel like, oh, I've heard it all. And like I wished, there was a long period of time I wished that someone could hypnotize me to forget that I ever heard hip hop just so I can
again.
Hear
you can
it
have
again.
That again.
Yeah. And then I'm thinking, right. And then I heard like Lil Wayne on his last album. And I was like, actually, I don't need to. Like this guy, like he's got one song. I can't remember what it's called. I'll send it to you. Like, I think it's called Mamma Mia or something like that. My goodness. My goodness. I was thinking, what? But like, because I'm so open to new things, I'm open to being surprised again.
Yeah.
And that's a blessing in
life. Yeah, that's great.
But it's a thing where like sometimes I feel like that about songs, right? Like, so for example, like I love Biggie, but I've heard every bar that Biggie's rapped so many times, right? And so you feel yourself going, I wish I could feel like what it's like to hear that again for the first time. And then somebody like a J Period will do like a remix and throw like the same verse that you've heard so many times over a different beat. And it is a bit like hearing it for the first time. Like it's the closest,
right.
I think, to that experience of hearing that again, you know, you sort of, but yeah, totally.
I like to reset. So I won't listen to something for years.
Right.
Like, I've started listening to Ready to Die. I haven't listened to Ready to Die in like 10 years.
I've had the same thing. Like in the last year, I've been listening to it again.
Yeah, and I'm just like, oh, this is actually banging.
Yeah.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're a part of the UK scene. Yeah. and you've worked with Gigs and you've worked with Wretch, as your driving examiner said, and you've worked with all these people. What's it been like for you coming up and seeing what's going on in the UK scene? Like, what's your sort of take on it all?
Well, I came from an era where there was nothing. I was like at the beginning of all this, right? They invented One Extra because of me, Wiley and Dizzy. I was the first One Extra artist to look for, kind of thing.
Yeah.
They built a whole infrastructure because of what we was doing. And I remember going to Pirate Radio and how hard it was for British black music to even be heard. And even when Funky was about, I had a 9-to-5. I'd given up on music and then I went back into making.
Given up?
Yeah, because I was just like, I'm 22, 23.
Yeah.
I haven't had no life experiences. I've tried to do this music thing since I was 6 years old.
Yeah.
It's got me, you know, I had a nice stint in grime. I had a nice stint in bassline. Yeah, but I wasn't making any money.
Yeah.
And I'm a man at the end of the day. Like, I need to protect and I need to, like, survive. And I need to protect myself and others. Like, I was always going to become this person. So I grew up to a certain point and I was just like, I just need a job because my friends are going on holiday since they were 17 years old, having all these experiences. And I ain't even got money to take a girl out on a date. So I just humbled myself and was like, get a job. I didn't do music for like 6 months. I just focused on doing the job.
And was that, were you thinking that was going to be permanent?
In my head, I wanted to find a job to find another job. Because you know, you can't get a job without having a job.
Straight in,
it's weird, right? Mm. And then I wanted, the second job would be a company that I liked. And I'll start from the bottom and I'll rise up to the top. And then I started seeing in the workplace, there was people like, say you, I'd meet someone just like you, persona, everything. We're talking good. A couple months go by and we're talking and I find out you're selling crack.
Right.
And I'm just like, why? And you're like, Ian, like, that's my name, Ian. It's like, Ian, like, I've got a wife, two kids. This job, I can't afford, like, to look after them with that. I have to do that. And he's not turning into, there's no aggression. There's real struggle there.
Mm.
You know, before you just see people, they're just on road. Selling drugs and that's a choice. This guy doesn't have a choice.
Yeah, this is born out of pure necessity.
It's out of pure necessity. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People were laundering money. I was thinking, you know, my eyes were just open to the realities of what life really is, right? And I thought to myself, I can make music. I can make a couple hundred pound every month without having to do that.
Well, on the side while you
Have to do that. Yeah, sell drugs and whatnot. So that's what got me back into making music.
You say? It was a 6 month period. Working for 6 months.
Yeah, so it's a 6 month period. So then when I got back into Funky, I'm just trying to give you my mindset.
Yeah.
Things were so hard back then, I decided I'm never going to win any awards for my work. I'm like no one's going to give me it. Like Mobos, like, even my own culture. Like I make such underground music.
Yeah.
Like my music's always been, if you want to call it pure, innit? And that
but you're not chasing. What I think of always about your music is you're not chasing what's hot. Do you know what I mean? You do what you like.
Yeah, I do what I experience.
Yeah, yeah.
If I'm raving to it, I'm going to make it.
Yeah,
that's basically how I work. So my mindset was, I'm not going to win any awards. So don't be angry if the Mobos don't like nominate you for anything. Don't be angry if this person doesn't nominate. It's like, that's not for you. Just be happy that you can make a couple of hundred pounds here and there.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Now, it's like millionaires are made in 6 months.
Yeah.
It's not just one black kid that the industry chooses to go through.
Yeah.
There's 20 of us now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it took me 3 years because all of this happened at the beginning of 2016. This whole UK explosion happened in 2016. And it took me to end of 2019, just before the pandemic. And I was just like, I have to change my mindset because now I can win awards and not only can I sell millions of records, I've got this writing skill and this producing skill. I can produce for other people and give them awards. It took me a while to kind of wrap my mind around that from nothing. You're not going to achieve nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like people, when they're talking to you, I'll see an A&R party to my music and meet his wife to my music. And then I'll go and have an A&R meeting with me and they're being sarcastic and they're being like, I don't know what the other word is, but they're being rude.
Yeah.
I'm like, but yesterday we were raving together. Whereas now people are like respecting what you do because there's real money in it now. There's millions of pounds. Once you start making millions of pounds, people's perception of success changes.
Yeah. It's disgusting though, that. Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting.
I think it's nature.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think now it's nature. Like a lioness, the 10 lionesses that find a lion ain't going to give themselves to a lion that ain't going to go hunting and it's just lazy and hairs falling out. They're going to give themselves
to describe me as a lion. I've got to be honest with you.
They're always going to go. It's just nature. It's like if you're successful and powerful, people are going to want to be successful and powerful off of you.
Yeah, got you.
How it works.
Yeah. And so have you found like seeing the UK rap scene, for example, go from where it was to where it is now? I mean, you were in and amongst that, right? I mean, it must have been fucking insane to be inside it and see like...
When I was inside it, I didn't look at it because I was still in a mindset of struggle. I didn't realise, wait, I've been doing this for 20 years.
And yeah.
I've always made money from this. Maybe I'm good at my job.
Right.
I was just seeing it from a survival point of view. And then I had to stop, like completely stop. I didn't make music last year for like 8 months just to reset my mind. And I was like, this is actually a viable career.
Mm.
Like, I can be taken seriously. And I don't care what anyone says. I don't care what people think. But it does feel nice when you're respected.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, you're not supposed to care about what people think. Otherwise, I wouldn't be wearing the outfit that I'm wearing. But it is nice. I walk in the room and you say, that's a nice outfit. I'm just like, oh, wow, I really respect your comedy. This guy that I respect, like, is just giving me a compliment. And it's the same with music. It's like, you're not supposed to care what other people think, otherwise you'll be following trends.
Mm.
But it is nice when an award show from your culture specifically says, hey, well done. We want to celebrate you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your work. Like, and I was like, I think that's the biggest thing for me. Like, when gigs got the first plaque for Lockdo, that was important to me because I was like, this person looks like me.
Yeah.
He comes from where I come from. Like, we're both kids that love making music and we like making music that we like making, not what the mainstream wants us to make, what we want to make.
Mm.
That's why the songs sound the way they do with me and gigs, is because we're both music men first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got these bitches on Lockdo. Damn, I got these bitches on Lockdo. They tag me in the house.
I got, cause man I've got 9 o'clock, that man are cleaning up now. Cause man are cloths and a man are ops, but I don't do it and I'm a city, cause the man are soft, man are cough, throw a spanner in the works now, straight shot man are box.
So seeing him give me a plaque, I remember thinking like, so that means that I can give someone a plaque.
Yeah.
Great.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the inspiration to it all. It's like even, like say you, when I went to the Hammersmith show, to see another brown person ramp out Hammersmith, the whole place, you know? And this was like 2017. So this is when the whole, like the cultural shift was happening.
Yeah.
I think you was definitely a part of the cultural shift because it wasn't just music. You were seeing that all types of other cultures other than white were being accepted in the mainstream and taken seriously.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I feel like now I'm starting to go, oh, okay, we can actually do something with this.
Yeah.
Sorry to be so deep.
No, it's good. It's good. But I do think it's a difficult line to walk, what you're talking about, in terms of like...
Is it?
In terms of a recognition and stuff like that is what I mean. Like in terms of, it's nice to be rewarded.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with you. It is nice to be rewarded, but you also have to accept that that's a nice thing to happen, but not allow yourself to become too attached and needing that to happen.
Yeah, you shouldn't be entitled. It's
a very difficult thing to get your head around. Do you know what I mean? I found that as a comedian is like wanting to go. If you get a recognition or something like that, that is great. But I have to not allow that to sort of...
be the end.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. You know, this can't be the thing that I'm trying to aim for.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as you start doing that... I'm not saying this to you like you've done it, but I just think that for a...
I have done it, but I think once you get that mind, it's hard to get to the mindset we're talking about. But once you get there, it's like, why didn't I realize this earlier?
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Because you know another thing as well, you're blocking your blessings. Because when you're entitled to something, say like you get an award, you might get a Grammy for best comedy album.
Yeah.
Well, if you're entitled to it, your response is, well, I deserve this. Whereas if you're like, I'm not entitled to this, it would be nice. Be like, I won!
That's a better response.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like you're going to get a joy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just like when Big Nasty and Mo won the BAFTA yesterday. Like, they're not entitled to their success.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they get to experience the joy of actually being rewarded and celebrated for their success.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you let your ego live in front of you, your ego actually stops you from experiencing things in life that you should be experiencing, the joyful things in life. Yeah.
Yeah, totally agree. So what hip hop are you listening to now? What have you got on? You talked a lot about sort of older artists. Are there more modern artists that you listen to?
I listen to a lot of Drake whenever Drake comes out.
Yeah.
I love J. Cole's new album.
That album is delightful.
To the left of that decimal, I need 7 figures to play the joint. Turn up your decibels, P-Pie decimator joint. Check out my projects like them workers that section 8 of points. And you'll see how I flip like exclamation points. My niggas shoot first as if they never played the point. More 2 guards, enough straps to fill 4 U-Hauls. More depth than World War II calls around these parts. We put a brown just to drown these stalks of black corpses and count more.
I like Lil Baby.
Yeah.
I love DaBaby.
The Baby. So actually, it was Martin that got me onto the Baby, right? Because he said to me, this is exactly the type of artist that you will say, I'm not going to engage with. Like he was saying to me, he goes, but trust me, listen to him. The guy's got skills.
Now he's like a new school Ludacris.
Yeah, yeah, mate. what a fucking description, by the way. Mm. That is what he's like, man.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah,
so
yeah.
good. It's so good. Proper songs. Like
proper raps on
yeah.
as well.
He's got skills, man.
Let down the window, you see me. Let the bitch down. We got AR 459s in the 2-tone Lamborghini. I walk in this bitch by myself, nigga still got on all this bling bling. I told Reach out the top on that Royal LeBron and this bitch with that thing. Ding. Nigga, they just told me that somebody died, but it don't bother me, that's a G thing. So? No, it don't bother me, it's a G way. I don't know what went down at that Walmart. I don't know what happened on that freeway. Nope. Okay, there go that baby, he back now. Run that back, hey, bitch, turn that on replay. Oh, he still got that shit with that bop in it. Oh, they thought that little nigga went pop, didn't it? I'm one of them superstar rappers.
British wise, I love Mist. Yeah. If Mist wasn't popular tomorrow and still released music, I'd still spend money on his music.
Yeah.
Like, his music is like collector's items for me. I love Mist.
What is it about him that you love so much?
I like the beats that he chooses. I like to me, Mist sounds like a slowed down old school garage MC.
Right, with better
lyrics. Do you know that? Money Mike inside.
I'll be booking them like Palace, puffing on my chalice. True, sir, I'm an addict. 24 Cali, don't make me have to grab it. Cabbage, niggas can't manage. That's another slapping. Niggas thinking that I'm famous, that I won't slap it. Nigga, I'm erratic. Erdington Savage, yeah, you call this modern warfare. When we double tap it, clicking and we clacking. Shots burning through his jacket.
Like he does the same flow. If you listen to it, it sounds like slowed down Mike MC.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But with better lyrics.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Giggs is my favourite UK rapper. Who else? I love D Block Europe. I love their songwriting. Pot of Paper
is so good. That have you heard the new Retchat record?
No, but I've seen it.
Is it big?
I love it, man.
It's quite an introspective album.
It is, yeah, it is. There's a tune on it called Pressure. I posted about it today, but I don't know why I said that out loud. I posted about it, but that tune, Pressure, is unbelievable. The whole record's great. It's great, man.
Rather go to war than be working on ships. Everything I do is on my own hands. Every time I crept was on my Conan. Every time I was sent was on my old man. When I got a thread, I took a rope and tied it round your neck to make a bow and I got my respect on my own fam. Looked up to my oldest, but my oldest getting old fam. We're just on our own fam.
I say, Phil?
Yeah, that's how I feel. You're 35 sitting on, I ain't got a mill.
Hand to hand trapping, still supplying on the hill. Now you're standing there chatting like I ain't in the field. I got an iron in the field. You know who I am in the field. Yeah.
But gigs, just with gigs, like obviously everybody loves gigs. Mm. I just, I'm so jealous of his voice, man.
Yeah, he was born with something special. With
it's
that.
Magic.
But he doesn't talk like that.
Right.
That's the weirdest.
That is
when
weird.
When he talks, he's like, yeah. Like this. And when he raps, yeah. Like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
And then when you listen
to
him.
Was he like that from day one?
He's always been like that. He said that, I saw an interview with him and he was just like, he used to question, like, why does my voice sound different when I rap?
Right.
And my voice sounds so different to everyone else's, but there was a reason we needed. I love distinctive tones.
Yeah.
But I'm in love with unique tones.
Yeah.
You don't get unique. Dizzy Rascal was a unique tone.
Yeah, yeah.
And he understood how to use his voice. Giggs, another one, unique tone. And he understood how to use his voice.
Dizzy Rascal's a great one. We've had him on the podcast, but like, it's that thing of like when you first hear it, you just think, I can't think of anything even as a reference point for how this sounds. Do you know what I mean?
Not at all. Like, you didn't even think someone was born like that. You don't realize in the UK, we're so relaxed and humble. We don't realize we have stars here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just that we're not loud about it. Like, you're a star.
Thanks, mate.
But like,
you are a star.
No, you are. But like, you're not on a. If you was American,
yeah,
you'd be a lot more loud about it. Whereas British people, we're not as much, but we're just as much. There's just as many stars here.
I know, but it's a. But I think that is just it's
just British.
A cultural thing, isn't it?
It's where you're like, you sort of go, British.
I cannot. You know, I don't know what you're all. I mean, look, I know music and comedy is different, but whenever I make something or a show comes out or I do a new tour show, I'm almost apologising for delivering it. Do you know what I mean? You sort of go, I've got this thing coming out. If you'd like to give it, if you'd like to check it out, it would be great.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, it's just.
Is that sort of feels better though than screaming about like there's a day?
So. Like, I feel like there's a middle ground because I used to do that and then I realised I'm actually good at my job. But what I've realised is you don't need to force that down everyone's throat either.
Yeah.
If someone if you ask me what do I think about my music, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I won't just jump out of the gate. I think for me, I'm still British. I love America, but my experiences are from here. And what makes me different is Great Britain.
Yeah. What are your experiences of, have you seen much hip hop live?
Not like, if we're talking about like old school hip hop, no. Like I when I was like trying to move to America, I was in New York a lot and I saw.
So when was this in your life then?
2007, between 2016 and 2019.
Okay.
And in 2017, I saw Smith and Wesson do a show.
Right.
Which was like, I was a massive fan of them.
Yeah.
Right. You know, Smith and Helter Skelter.
Yeah, yeah. The whole boot camp click and all that.
Yeah. La Fleur.
Oh, that shit.
Picture in it.
Oh, my God.
So I can't remember where it was, but my friend Snips took me there. And I was like, because like Snips is, because me, like I said, my experience with hip hop is quite wide.
Yeah.
And Snips is the only person that I can experience.
I mean, you want to talk about a purist. I mean, it doesn't get much more.
Purist than Snips. And me and Snips have had arguments, and he hasn't won. So I know I've got something good about me. Do you know what I mean? So like, Snips was like, "Look, we're going to a Smith." And I was like, "What?" It's like you don't get to. I would never get to experience that. I was too young.
Yeah.
When Biggie came over and Daz Effects and all these people came over, I was too young to go to those shows. And then, like, I've been to a Jay-Z Kanye show.
What was that like?
It was banging. It was amazing because I remember like they had fire and they only had a DJ and a guitarist.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? But the whole production.
It's a weird
of
two
it was
things
tremendous.
To bring, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, just those two things. Kind
it's
of.
It's like they just got shown into a room and you can have two of the things that are in it
for
this show.
Which one do you want? But I haven't really, I've experienced Drake perform, I've seen gigs perform, obviously, I've been at his shows. So yeah.
Yeah.
How about you?
I mean, I've been to so many, but like, I'm trying to think of one of the things that we were talking about here is I almost bore myself by talking about like the quality of live hip hop,
the laziness of
production. Equally, yeah. I have seen so many great shows. Like, you know, yeah. we went to see Kendrick together.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
That must have been tremendous.
Yeah. It was amazing.
What hero over there?
O2. Yeah.
O2. It was amazing. And then I saw Jay-Z when he did Royal Albert Hall with a full orchestra, and he brought out Nas midway through when they just squashed their beef or whatever. My brother nearly fell off the balcony.
I've seen Rick Ross perform.
What's that like?
Rick Ross. Another one that Martin T. Smooth has got me into.
Same place that you performed.
Unbelievable. Oh, at the Apollo.
How was it?
Listen, I punched my friend's arm so hard. He almost punched me in my face. And my friend is calm.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't think so. Well, the way he looked at me when I think I'm big. Because he's big, like I'm big.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking he can handle it. And he just looked at me like, D, one more of those.
I'm going to punch you in front of all of these people. Yeah. Just throughout the whole night.
That's when he first, I think, no, he didn't start with Big Meech.
Right.
Oh, did he? No, he started with MC Hammer. That's it.
Right.
He started with MC Hammer.
Rick Ross is just,
again, another unique tone that understands how to use his voice.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great shout. It's like, I just love it. Rick Ross's music. It feels like you can bathe in it.
It's lush.
It's so, just
excellent music.
Just, oh, mate. It's like getting under a duvet.
For the record, Ramesh looked at me and raised his eyebrows.
I know, right?
Very.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you know.
The old duvet days. Who's the most inspiring person you've met? Like, you've come away from time with them and gone, they've had an impact on your life.
I've met them.
Yeah.
Woo!
Spent time. Doesn't have to be famous.
Busta Rhymes.
Really?
Wow.
Let me tell you something.
You made a noise there that suggested it was a tricky question and you were going to struggle to answer. And then you just fucking pulled Busta Rhymes out.
Busta Rhymes. I was in the New York nightclub. Most artists, when they're in their private own space, don't want to be bothered. I've seen Busta switch on people. Let's just set the scene. So we're in a club now and I'm with my brethren. I know they're Busta's brethren as well. I'm not expecting Busta to be there. I'm standing looking at the DJ booth, hall, my brethren's DJing. I don't know what to ask me to look behind me, but see where you're standing, your way, where you're standing. Imagine turning around, like you're standing here.
Yeah.
Imagine turning around and Buster's there just with some woman. It's right behind you with his big chain and everything. I turn around and I'm like, that's Busta Rhymes. Leave him alone. Drinking my drink, leave him alone. And I'm thinking about it and I'm like, just say something.
Yeah.
So I just said to him, you know what? I just want to say, if you wasn't around, I wouldn't have been around. Thank you for your influence. I just left there at that.
That's a nice thing.
Yeah, very good.
Put his arms around me and he was like, bro, thank you so much for saying that to me. And then I showed him the picture of Chalice to say like, no, like this character I played in this video is because of you and Missy Elliott.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have had the bravery to do this. Like, thank you for... Bro, we both almost started crying.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Like, he was... The way he hugged me was like, no. I was like, oh, wow. He was like, no. Thank you. Thank you for saying that to me. I really appreciate... Like, the way he was showing me love and that. And then afterwards, I've said, all right, now I'm gassed. And again, I calmed my ego down because I thought, let me just not... He's given me the love I wanted. I walked over to the DJ booth so I wouldn't annoy him because I don't know if I've got enough strength
to not keep...
When someone gives you that much love, give me more. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I just thought, let me just walk to the DJ booth and calm myself down.
Yeah.
As I've gone to the DJ booth, so obviously my friends, they've got my best interests at heart. They see he's showing me bare love. Did they not play the last half an hour of Deneo songs in New York?
No. Wow.
Listen, they played, Chalice, Move to the Gyalem, Party Hard. And then he's just going, and they're going,
wow.
Because he's skanking, with his woman to it. And he's looking at them like, and they're like, and I'm just like, just hold it down. For about five songs, they keep pointing him. He says, come here. So obviously I go. He said, you're coming to the studio tomorrow. You tell me how to write songs.
Wow.
So I can't do it. He said, no. You direct. I was like, okay, cool. I never got in the studio with him, but that's the best experience I've ever had with an artist.
What an amazing story.
Unbelievable.
What?
Well, look, listen, we're almost out of time here, man. It's been...
Really?
It's gone super quick, man.
Oh, wow.
So what is in your future today? What's the next steps for you?
So I've been heavily influenced by, like, Amapiano, the Amapiano sound from South Africa.
Right.
And the British, like, production, Amapiano production, like Super D's production, Taffer's production, Maestro, Scotty D, DT, there's a girl called Lush Curls. Like, they brought out a song called Kings and Queens. So my musical journey now is going down that path for a few reasons. The main reasons is, one, I really enjoy it. And the second reason is I think my gift to the world is I can make people dance, whether you want to or not.
Right.
Like, and my responsibility to, for me, to the world, is to give people that, give people joy, because we're coming out of a situation. And I do feel like it's the entertainer's job
to
help with people's mental health. And that's what I contribute. I make you dance. You can't be annoyed and dance at the same time. Mm. So that's my near future is about making people dance or bringing joy.
Bringing joy and making people dance. Great. That's also your MO, isn't it?
Yeah, famously.
What a coincidence.
Heavy.
Yeah.
Great minds.
Well, look, Danae, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I know you apologised for getting deep, but this, in terms of a music chat, it's been next level, man.
Oh, thank
you. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.